Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and the dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you the Amber Dragon Podcast with Linda Marciniak. Greetings and welcome, Linda, and Happy New Year. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Hercules. Hail and welcome and Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you.
So I just want to apologize. I'm just a little bit under the weather tonight, so
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. I just, if I sound like Kermit the Frog, it's just this is kind of sitting in my head right now. So So tonight we were going to talk about really
elemental allies and walking meditation.
Right, learning to connect with our elemental allies, through walking meditation. And I know it sounds like a kind of an odd topic to have, at this time of the year on the East Coast, but, walking meditation is just such a powerful tool for grounding, focusing, stress relief, as well as things like, transformation and evolution. Walking meditation can be done by anyone at any level, and really anywhere. So we are talking about, realigning ourselves with our elemental allies, but not everybody has the opportunity to, walk outside in a natural environment. They might not have access to that, or this time of year, the weather might not be something that is appealing for people to go trudging out into the park,
right,
when it's 40 degrees, this kind of thing. But, everywhere we are, the elements are present with us. We are manifested of the elements of, air, fire, water, earth, and spirit. And every single thing around us contains aspects of those elements. So you don't have to go far, and it doesn't have to be a gauntlet to experience the power and the therapeutic response for walking meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules, I know that you've done a lot of work yourself on your personal wellness and your personal regimen, so I'm sure that walking in some way has been a part of that for you as well.
For most of my life, that was very true. I loved walking a large part of my life, walking a great deal. In fact, it was one of the things that I was known for. I used to walk from New Jersey into New York when I was in high school, and walk back home. It used to take hours, but I loved walking. And I used to joke with my son when he was a small child that he was going to tell people when they asked about me. My father was a strange man. He loved to walk a lot. but ever since we moved to Pennsylvania, I haven't really been able to walk as much as I was used to because we were in the middle of the woods in a mountain, and there were like bears and eagles and coyotes and all sorts of things. So my walking was severely curtailed. And when we came back from Pennsylvania, we lived in Northwest New Jersey, which is pretty much more of the same. Now that we came back here to northeastern New Jersey, I just started to walk a lot more, and then the pandemic happened. So I'd say maybe two-thirds of my life were spent walking a great deal, and the last third, not so much.
Well, you know, the nice thing about walking, especially outdoors, is that, you know, even in the pandemic, there's an opportunity for you to get a little space, you know, between you and the other pedestrians that you might encounter. So I'm going to talk about basically, you know, like how do you begin this and, you know, what are your first steps towards developing a walking meditation practice? And it really is quite simple. We really start everything with one breath and one step. And at first, you know, the practice really consists of just working on aligning that breath work with your step work. And so you want to, you know, breathe in on a step and out with a step and establish your own cadence as to, you know, what flows naturally. When you're working with walking and breathing meditation, you don't want anything that's an artificial rhythm, because it's not something you're going to sustain, and you don't want to have to think about this. You know, you want this to flow. You want the breath to flow naturally. You want the gait to flow naturally. So you don't want to, you know, you don't want to tax yourself. You don't want to be moving quicker than you consistently can to maintain, you know, a nice walk. You know, 30 minutes is always a nice thing to try and shoot for. And you don't want your breath to be strained either. So we try not to hold the breath. We try not to push the breath. We really just want to sit in that breath. We want to get familiar. So before you even start walking, my suggestion would be, you know, when you pick that direction that you're going to head in, whether it's, you know, on your treadmill at home or just walking around, you know, inside or outside, wherever you are, at that point that, you know, that you've decided this is, I'm going to start my walk now, you know, just kind of stand in that space and allow yourself to begin to breathe, breathing in through the nose, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, or you can try yoga breathing, breathing in through the nose and out through the nose in a very slow, rhythmic manner with the tip of your tongue up to the roof of your mouth to kind of slow you down. So you want to play with that a little bit, and you want to kind of figure out what, you know, what pattern of breathing, first of all, is going to work for me, that's going to kind of get me to that sweet spot where, you know, I'm really kind of flowing back and forth mm-hmm. with this vibe. I don't have to think about it, but I'm definitely feeling that I'm in a rhythm. And then once you get into that rhythm with your breath, you want to start to introduce the feet, you know, and the walking. And again, this really shouldn't look like, you know, like the first time you learned how to line dance, right? You just really want it to flow. So, you know, as you breathe in, you want to take your first step. As you breathe out, you want to take your second step. And you want to kind of start to work with yourself that way. And you're going to find that once you start to do this, and once you start to work with walking meditation, it becomes so rote, it becomes so automatic for you that you may find yourself kind of slipping into the meditation walk-breath pattern mm-hmm. at other points, you know, in your day when you're walking, you know, in the hallway from one meeting to the next or or what have you. So that's really the way you're going to start this. And it's really up to you whether or not it's a 5-minute journey or a 15-minute journey, or you're going to build on this. But you just want to start to get into that pattern where I'm walking, I'm breathing. You know, one step, one breath, one step, one breath. And if you find your mind wandering away from the activity, the actual stepping and breathing, you want to bring yourself back into that moment by really kind of repeating that mantra, one step, one breath, one step, one breath. You can say to yourself, with my, you know, each time I step with my right foot, I breathe out. Each time I step with my left foot, I breathe in, right, out, left, in. You want to kind of create that rhythm for yourself. And you'll notice that when you do that, everything starts to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts to come back into a nice focus for you. And that's when you're ready to really start to invite in or open yourself up to your elemental allies. So earlier on, I talked about the fact that, you know, we consist of the elements. You know, we consist of air and fire and water and earth. And we are made up of these components. So it's not so much that we are introducing ourselves to these elements for the first time. It's really reawakening our natural relationship with them. You know, it's like when you see that cousin or aunt that you haven't seen for a while, but you step right back into this familiar pattern of communication as soon as you see each other. And this is really how we go about, you know, reconnecting with the elements. And, you know, you want to start quite simply with just one element at a time, and really try and immerse yourself in the experience of that element. And how you decide which element it's going to be is very different. It's very different for each person and each scenario. What I like to do when I go to the park is I like to stand in that kind of meditative space once I get into the park, and now I'm going to start to build my rhythm, my cadence. So I'm going to stand very still. You know, I might close my eyes and just start to breathe and align myself with my breath. And in those moments, as I'm just starting to get into that meditative state, I'm going to allow myself to become aware of the first element that I experience in an obvious way. So if, for example, I could be standing there and I'm nice and quiet and breathing, and all of a sudden, you know, the breeze picks up and I fill myself with that new breath. You know, I become aware that, you know, the air is now moving in and through my lungs, that it's blowing my hair, that I can feel the, you know, the air on my face, that my, you know, my lips might be drying because the breeze is blowing. I become aware of the, you know, the sensation of the air as it blows across my body, my fingertips, the sound that is going on all around me as that air connects with, you know, the leaves on the trees or the grass, or, you know, it might be blowing a can or a plastic bag across the parking lot. So I'm going to allow myself to just step in to whichever element presents itself in that moment. Does that make sense, Hercules?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
You've taken me along. I was on a mental.
Yeah. So basically that's really the way that I approach it. It's like elementomancy, you know. I don't choose the element, the element chooses me. And mm-hmm. once I'm in that space, you know, you allow yourself to just completely be immersed by that, you know. And if you're one of these people that has a hard time staying focused, you have what we call monkey brain, you know, your mind's in a million places. Oh, wait a minute, I think I just heard a car. There are voices in the park that I can hear. My own footsteps might distract me. Did I turn the oven off? You know, what do I have to do for work? So, again, you're going to allow yourself to go back into that mantra that you've created, you know, one breath, one step, one breath, one step. But you might also want to incorporate the element itself. And, you know, to stay focused on that element, you might want to, you know, actually hear yourself start to say, you know, the air is in my lungs, it's moving out of my lungs, the breeze is on my face. You know, the air is blowing my hair. You might want to allow yourself, you know, we can't necessarily stop the thoughts, but we can channel those thoughts so that we can use them productively. So mm-hmm. if you're one of those people that has a very busy mind, it's somewhat unrealistic to expect that you're just going to shut that off and, you know, be a monk in solitude. So instead, use that thought process in a productive way and be able to, you know, use the thoughts to focus more on the element that you are now completely immersing yourself in. And notice for yourself now as you begin to walk with that element, how that evolves in you. You know, how you and that element, you know, begin to work together, and what kind of feeling states, emotional states, thought processes come up for you as you're walking. You know, when we think about air, we think about the expansive nature of the mind, of our free thoughts, of our will. We think about our intellect, and, you know, our ability to express ourselves, to send our voice out on the breeze. So as you're starting to work with air and it is working with you and you're receiving those gifts through this meditative practice, it may bring things up to the surface that you hadn't thought about in years. You know,
yeah.
Maybe there was a time where, you know, literally you couldn't catch your breath and what that felt like. Maybe there was a time where the words got stuck in your throat and you weren't able to express yourself in a way that, you know, that felt comfortable. Air is giving you the opportunity now to, through that meditative process, to really work through that, you know, and to kind of, with the air, move it along. And of course, I'm only focusing on air because we're working with one element, but it's just an example of how you can utilize the technique to really start to immerse yourself and reacquaint yourself and awaken the element within you, if that, you know, makes sense.
No, that's the elements, like everything else in life, are symbolic, as you're pointing out. And a lot of times, like, I work with my dreams, and my dreams, I find, you know, like, I contemplate them, and the symbolic contents speak to me to the extent that I'm able to understand them. And it's the same thing when I do divination. So when I do my meditation,
right.
the same. I know that what I'm getting from the inner worlds sometimes is not literal. Sometimes it's symbolic, and that the inner world likes to communicate through metaphors, through puns, through carefully placed or edited memories. I do what you're suggesting all the time. I'm always wondering what my universe, regardless of what state of being I'm on, is telling me. And I'm a firm believer in meditation, be it lying down meditation, sitting down meditation, walking meditation. I even meditate when I lift weights. So I'm a real believer in meditation.
Well, you know, anything like any repetitive movement like weightlifting, it's really very conducive to meditation because, you know, we are rote thinkers at heart. So anytime we can get into a pattern, that we can get into a rhythm, that really brings us into a trance-like state. And I find when I'm working with the elements, I always receive what I need, even if it's not what I thought I was going to need. You know, the elements have a way of surprising us in a very, you know, therapeutic way. And, you know, I remember one time I had a really challenging day at work, really very difficult, you know, having to make some very difficult choices for my team and moving forward. And when I got home, my natural instinct is to just go take a walk. I just needed to go and clear my head and take a walk. And so, you know, here I'm walking into the park and I'm thinking that, you know, what I really need is to just, you know, get some fire going inside of me, you know, to get fire moving and, you know, get a little burn going. So I'm thinking this is what I really need to do to get this out, is to just really incinerate it. So in my mind, I'm thinking that the element that's waiting for me here in the park is going to be fire. And much to my surprise, it was not. It was rain, and it was a little bit of a cold rain, which I absolutely cannot stand getting stuck out in the rain if I'm not intending to be there. You know, if I haven't stepped out the door to say I'm going to go walk in the rain, if I'm out there and it starts raining, you would think I'm the Wicked Witch of the West and I'm going to melt. I absolutely, you can ask the druid. I have zero tolerance. And so here I am, and I'm, you know, I'm walking in the park, and I'm thinking, okay, any minute now I'm going to get the burn. And this, you know, kind of cold rain started. And my response to it was actually exhilaration. And by the time I got home, I was just laughing and, you know, the druid's like, well, what, did you hit your head? Did you fall? Because, you know, I'm walking in the door, I look like a drowned rat, and he's thinking, oh my God, she's going to be livid. You know, she hates being wet. But it was a very different experience. And so I really learned that it's not up to me to define the terms of these engagements. And I'm not saying that we can't, because we certainly can. We can invoke an element and we can work specifically with an element that we are, you know, desiring to focus on. But when we're using this, the technique of a walking meditation, you know, we're opening ourselves up to the elements. We're opening ourselves up to, you know, receive that gift that is what we need, not necessarily what our ego thinks we need, which is a big shift. But it makes the practice, I find, so much more powerful and so much more transformative because you get all this material, you know, that you can work with and process and journal long after the actual walking meditation is complete.
Mm-hmm. I love journaling too. That's something else I believe in. I have hundreds, if not thousands, of notebooks that I still have from my journaling I've done throughout my life. A lot of them got lost in moves or through like water damage to basements and so forth. But most of them have not. And it's very empowering and also like synchronistic a lot of times to visit these past impressions. So I'm also, as I am of walking and of meditation, I am of journaling as well. You're speaking all the parts of me today, Linda.
Well, and historically, what I do around this time of year, you know, it's the quote-unquote new year. You know, we've turned the page. It's 2021. And so normally what I do around this time of year when I start my new journal is I pull forward out of the old Book of Shadows, if you will, all of my workings from, you know, my Book of Shadows. So I rewrite all of the invocations, the prayers, the chants. And because, you know, what I found is that when I leave them in the old book, that I'm constantly having to thumb through and try and recall what year did I write that, so I could go back and try and find it. So, you know, it was like, to me, it was a stroke of genius that I figured out that if I just copy forward just the work, you know, the chants, the songs, what have you, into the new year, then at least I have them. And and so for a long time, that's what I was doing. And then that became a kind of a Book of Shadows all in its own, and I realized that I needed to put them on index cards and just move the index cards from year to year rather than, you know, rewriting the whole book. But that whole process of kind of going through and carrying forward the grains, you know, the growth, the seeds from last year into this year has become a meditative process all of its own. So, you know, looking and saying, well, what, you know, what don't I really need this year? You know, this might have been a card that, you know, I've been holding on to and I've been working a lot with, only to find that, you know what, this year I didn't work with that at all, and I'm okay with that, and so I don't need to move that forward. And so, you know, it's really just a practice of allowing yourself to slow down long enough to breathe into the moment that you're existing in and to really appreciate the gifts of that moment and make some conscious decisions about what you want to do going forward. It's New Year's resolution time, so everybody's throwing that out there too. So, you know, when we talk about something like walking meditation, this tends to be the time of year where people rededicate or recommit themselves to their exercise regimens as well. And, you know, I've had to go through a rather huge transition over the last year and a half or so with the way that I move my body and the level of exertion that I can tolerate now is very different than what I was doing 2 years ago. So rediscovering these walking meditations and really allowing myself to spend a quantity of time rather than, an intense short burst of time doing these walks has brought me such a sense of peace and connectedness. And when you're doing it out, you know, with the elements all around you, you're going to discover some amazing things. You know, if you follow me on Instagram, I am the Amber Dragon on Instagram. You'll follow my journey a lot. I take a lot of photos and usually write some kind of a motivational or insightful piece to go with the photos that I post on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I find that, you know, the line between, you know, human form and natural forms really dissolves when you're doing this kind of walking meditation. And, you know, the shape of the human and the shape of the tree start to really meld and become one, to the point where you can really appreciate how we are all constructed of the same elements. You know, it's pretty wild. Roots that look like hands reaching in or out of the ground, you know, twisting trunks of trees that look like dancing women, and just beautiful stuff like that. And, you know, if you try this technique out, I would really venture to say by the time you get to the end of your walk, you're going to have a hard time remembering what it was that was testing you at the beginning of the walk, if you really immerse yourself.
Wow. I need to get on Instagram. I think I started an account like long ago, but that I never really wound up on it. For a while, I was on LinkedIn as well as Facebook. Now it's mostly Facebook.
Yeah, and I what I do is with my Instagram account, I have it linked to my Facebook page. So whatever I post on Instagram auto-posts right to Facebook. So but that's my personal Facebook page. So the Amber Dragon Instagram page also posts to my personal Facebook page. Okay. But you're not going to see a lot of those posts on the Amber Dragon Facebook, because I use that really for posting all of the notifications regarding the shop. So the more motivational, meditative, inspirational kind of stuff you're going to find on my Instagram posts.
Yes, now that you say that, I wondered about some of your posts, because they seem to be posted from somewhere else, and now I understand that better.
Yeah, because when you follow me on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, you'll see my posts have all those hashtags attached
yes.
to them, because that's the language of Instagram. So, you know, when you add those hashtags, people that are interested in those hashtags will, you know, your stuff will show up for them. So it's kind of a nice thing, but when it hits Facebook, it does look like a foreign language a little bit.
Yes, to me it is still a foreign language. There's so many things now. It's the universe seems to be trying to teach us that we're multidimensional beings, and the fact that all these different existences exist for us to create avatars and incarnate into is a meditation in and of itself.
And, you know, it's also a perfect example of why kind of this walking meditation with the elements is so important, because at the end of the day, we are still carbon-based life forms, and we are still going to evolve and decay in that natural process that we see out in nature. And it's very, very easy to lose sight of that when you get so involved in these technologies, you know, and you create avatars for yourself and you're on social media where, you know, everybody lives in perpetuity. Nobody ever gets old. Nobody ever decays. You know, nothing ever gets moldy or smelly. You know, you don't have to clip toenails and all this kind of stuff because you just, you exist in this virtual reality. But we ourselves do not exist in a virtual reality. Just, you know, part of us does, right? That cerebral part of us does. But we
right.
still have to tend to the temple. You know, it's a very funny story. So when I was younger, I must have been about, maybe I was six years old, okay, maybe seven at the latest. You know, I was watching cartoons, and, you know, cartoons really were our first virtual reality, right, our first avatar. I mean, how many times does the coyote get blown up to smithereens, and then, you know, he's just
right.
reconstitutes himself and moves along. So, you know, you and I were raised with Bugs Bunny and Wile E. Coyote and, you know, Yosemite Sam and all this stuff. So I had, you know, spent my Saturday morning watching my cartoons, and Bugs Bunny had, I don't know, he hit something that made him turn into like an accordion. You know how they used to get flattened by things and then they would become accordions and then they would reconstitute. So something like that had just happened, and so I went back into my bedroom, and there was a dresser there with these big sunburst kind of wooden knobs. It was my grandmother's dresser, and I thought, well, if Bugs Bunny can do it, then I can probably do it too. So I got on the bed, and I rolled all the way from the far end of the bed. I rolled as fast as I could into that dresser on purpose. Because I thought that I was going to, you know, hit the dresser and I would turn into one of those accordion-shaped beings, and then I would snap back into myself. And imagine my surprise when that is not what happened. And I wound up having to go to the emergency room and get stitches in my head because the knobby dresser, you know, handles actually, you know, gave me a gash on my forehead. And then having to walk out of the bedroom and explain to my mother, like, what I was doing. Like, at that point, I realized that, hey, wait a minute. I am not an avatar. I'm not a cartoon. I actually, you know, I am made of flesh and blood and bone, and I have to take care of that, or the cerebral stuff is basically pointless. So it was a life lesson, and it was probably about a little over 50 years ago that I had that lesson, and but it's as relevant today to our topic as it was then. So, you know, the deeper you get into this world of virtual reality, the more important it is that you do spend the time and the energy to stay connected in the elemental world and breathe the air into your lungs and, you know, feel the fire in your veins and, you know, the solidity of your bones, you know, of the earth, and, you know, feel that emotional transformation of water, because that's really what houses all of that ethereal stuff, you know, all that spirit stuff, that star stuff, that
right.
definitely makes up, you know, makes up part of our being as well.
Yes, very, very true. And speaking to that multidimensionality and wanting to be like a cartoon, maybe on the physical plane, that's something that is not very easy to do. But if you work on dreams, you can, by immersing yourself in cartoony type of media, your dreams will take on a cartoony type of feel, and you'll be able to do in your dreams the things that they do in cartoons.
Right, right. And, you know, the thing that is with that, you know, if when you're going to engage in practice like that, and Hercules, certainly, you know, you've been adept at this for a long time, but, you know, the cautionary tale is you have to have some firm foundation before you can launch yourself into that. Certainly, you want to do your research, you want to do your reading, you want to develop a very well-rounded, grounding skill set before you engage in that kind of activity, because you just don't want to lose your tether with reality. And some people do struggle with that. And you don't want to get into a situation where, you know, you're not quite sure from one minute to the next if you are this animated representation of yourself or you're the real deal, you know, walking through the world. So these are definitely excellent techniques to, you know, look into and explore. But, you know, do your research first and make sure that you have a very firm foundation, you know, of being able to ground and center and create sacred space in which to allow yourself to expand in these directions. You know, you want to be able to make sure that, you know, you've created an environment around you that is, you know, pure and, you know, not going to be permeated by anything unsavory or anything undesirable before you kind of throw caution to the wind and, you know, play Jumanji, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. But it's definitely a journey worth taking. But get some reliable resources under your belt before you start to kind of move in that direction would be my recommendation.
Well, it's true of anything you undertake. I like even with fitness, which is something I'm very well focused in, I've taken some wrong turns there too that led to disastrous results. I believe
yeah.
I pushed myself over the diabetes hill by adhering to pre-steroid bodybuilding information that recommended you drink over a gallon of milk a day and eat six oranges. And my body can handle 7 ounces of sugar for like a year and a half. So, yes, anything should have a warning label. And I remember the first time I dabbled with politics in my 20s, I discovered that if you don't watch it, politics can eat your life. Literally, it can eat your life. So it's true of anything you undertake that you should always know what your priorities are. You should always remain grounded in the more solid parts of reality. You should really contemplate any and all feedback you're getting on what's happening to you and seek out those who may know more than you if you find yourself faltering. So yes, life should have a cautionary label everywhere.
Right. And you know, we are best served in balance. And you know, we do our best work when we are balanced, you know, equal parts of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, you know. So it's the same thing in all things. If you are, you know, investigating a technique or a diet or a regimen that is, you know, very much one-dimensional, you have to know we are not one-dimensional beings. That's putting you back in that cartoon world. You know, we are multidimensional beings. You know, we have all five of those elements just swirling around in us, and we have to be able to feed all of them as they feed us. So anytime you get involved in something that is, you know, very obviously one-dimensional, you know, it's got one direction that it's going in, you really want to caution yourself about that. Too much excess, too much extremism, can really be very detrimental. And it's so subtle sometimes, like to your point, you know, not all poison comes with a poison wrapper. You know,
right.
Sometimes it's a socially sanctioned wrapper. And, you know, everybody's encouraged to use it. Look at corn syrup, you know, high fructose corn syrup. And that was going to be the panacea. It was going to solve the world's hunger crisis. And, you know, look at what it's done. So we have to be very careful and you know, use your judgment. There's no reason to leap when you can walk into anything. And, you know, be okay about saying something's not right for you, you know.
Right.
And there's no harm, there's no foul, there's no labeling, there's no blaming. It's just you, you know, moving through the different options that present themselves in life. That's really what it's all about.
Oh, very true. And no matter how much exploration you do into the metaphysical realms, and once you discover the astral plane, forget it. Anything and everything is possible. But your attention is very limited. And a large part of who we are and what this is all about is centered in the here and now. So the here and now is a great place to anchor yourself. Return to after you go out and explore other realms and other dimensions and other rates of vibration and other spheres, or you know, whatever you'd like to call or however you'd like to categorize what you're experiencing. This is a good place to come back to, and there are important things happening here too.
Right. And you know, you have to come back here because you've left something vital behind, like all your organs. And, you know, you can't move for long without them. So, you know, you have to come back. And so a lot of these techniques, when you talk about astral projection and you talk about past life regression, you know, all of those things start with that grounding exercise. You know, they start with that anchoring of, you know, keeping yourself in some way or another still connected to that physical body that you exist in. You know, in the therapeutic realm, we have techniques that are very similar where, you know, you can allow, you know, the client to, you know, re-experience a past trauma while firmly being anchored in the here and now, in the safety of the body that's already survived and overcome, which changes the dynamic of the experience from one of victimization to empowerment by being able to go back and you know, be the observer of the event without re-experiencing the event. But you can't even do those techniques unless, you know, you're grounded and you have that grounded presence with you. And certainly, you know, anything that we do here, you know, it's got to start from there. You know, the walking meditation, the reason why we start with that breathing and we close our eyes and we focus and we bring it all in is because we need to make sure that, you know, we are grounded, that we are focused, that you are moving forward with one breath, one step, one thought, you know, one purpose. And that's what kind of keeps you grounded and allows you to be able to see far enough ahead to make some choices about, you know, is this really the direction I want to go in? You know, do I feel comfortable? Do I feel safe? Do I feel that this is benefiting my higher good and the higher good of all? And if not, then, you know, change direction.
Very true. And since most of life is unconscious, including our life in the here and now and on the physical plane, It's set up. The mechanism of it is set up so that you can't really ignore anything for long. You'll confront it in daily life. You'll confront it in dreams. You'll confront it in the astral, in the etheric, and in the mental, you know, wherever you choose to wander, or wherever a favorite place of your consciousness happens to be to hang out. Whatever level you're on, the things you need to face will find you.
Oh, without a doubt. And it just keeps getting louder. You know, it's like that.
If you ignore it, yes. And more insistent.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, it's so funny because we've talked about this all year with the pandemic and everything. You and I have talked about this repeatedly that, you know, by the point in time that we're getting hit in the back of the head, we feel like we're being victimized. And we're saying, well, how come you did that? Well, you know, let's look back. You know, where were the subtle cues? You know, what did you make a conscious choice to ignore because, you know, you didn't want to make those changes? You know, we don't change very quickly, very easily. And so we choose to just keep ignoring it until it, to your point, it will not go away anymore. And at that point, when we're presented with that level of intensity, then we feel like we've been victimized and we feel like we've been put upon. But, you know, heart of hearts, if you go back and you kind of peel that onion down and you're honest about it, you know, you'll be able to connect the dots and go back and see those subtler shifts that were all around you that, you know, you made a very conscious choice to ignore, you know.
Very, very true. And one of the things I'm finding as I get older is that world events, be it pandemic, political situations, a lot of times in contemplating them, they reflect thoughts that I've held deeply at one point or another point during the course of my life. And by getting to see how things actually are, it allows me to let go of a lot of thoughts that weren't true, you know, that these were the way I connected the dots a long time ago, and they made sense at the time, and there wasn't anything to contradict them, but now there's plenty to contradict them, so I can adjust those maps inside my head and see the world in a new way. Like, for instance, you know, independence versus cooperation. I've always been a strong-willed, independent type of person, and I'm eccentric and different. So I've had to, you know, really stand up for who I am. But now I'm seeing that, you know, so many things happen because people can't communicate, because people can't, you know, cooperate on a very, like, basic and simple level. So I'm really examining everything. You know, I didn't cause this pandemic. I don't know what caused it. But one of the things that I can do with it that I find very productive is use it as a mirror and look at it and see what I see and then make whatever changes inside myself I need to make where I can see things differently or understand things differently.
Yeah, this has definitely been the year to do that and to really – to really put your money where your mouth is. I mean, this has been, I think, one of the biggest reflections for me this year has been, you know, being able to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, because there were, you know, phenomenal life shifts that everybody had to ask themselves, you know, to make. And were they willing to make it? And at what point were they willing to make it? You know, if we had gone back and, you know, interviewed people, you know, at the beginning of this, when everybody thought this was happening over there and it wasn't happening over here, you know, versus 3 months later, I think, you know, we would see a phenomenal shift in that, to your point, that line of cooperation, you know, and at the very beginning, there was so much personal liberty and so many discretionary choices that people were making. I remember I was traveling at the very beginning of this thing last year in February when it had finally really hit over in China. And And I remember, you know, I was traveling. I was, on a plane. I was in a big venue in Tucson. We were selling at that show, and I remember like how odd it was to think, well, wait, should we be doing something different? You know, well, what should we be doing now? And hearing like these trickles of, you know, the impact that this was having on a lot of our friends and the other vendors, and you know, the vendors that, you know, had managed to get to the United States before the pandemic hit, and now were not able to get back to their home countries because, you know, everything was starting to happen. And, you know, I remember that versus, you know, 3 months later and what the norm was around traveling. There was no question, there was no doubt, you know, that all those things that were coming up. And, you know, and now we're here and we're quote unquote seasoned veterans. You know, we've all been going through it for a year. Therefore, we are all experts at what, I don't know. But, you know, this seems to be the idea. So it really has been a very transformative year. And personally, I think, you know, the best thing that we can do is really, you know, within ourselves, we have to ask those questions, you know, what am I willing to walk and not just talk, and then actually go ahead and do it. So, you know, who knows in six months where we're going to be with this. Hercules will be having this conversation all over again, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And we've reached the end of today's conversation. Can you please share your contact information before we wrap up for today? And thank you, Linda. I know you weren't feeling well. You've taken me to a million different places, and you brought up a million different issues to meditate upon. So thank you.
Well, thanks, Hercules. Thanks for being here with me again tonight. And you can reach me through the Amber Dragon on Facebook or Instagram. You could email me at oystermoon@msn.com. The shop is going to be closed this coming weekend because I am sick, and I will post that on the Facebook page. But, you know, please feel free to reach out, and when we are reopened, you know, come on down to the Dragon and experience it for yourself.
And the Amber Dragon is an awesome place. I consider it my personal spiritual community, as does my wife, Athena Victory. And Linda and her husband, the Druid, are phenomenally awesome people, as are the people who congregate there. And we've made many friends during our sojourn together. I want to thank Linda and the Amber Dragon. Linda, Happy New Year. May this year bring many blessings, health, happiness, and prosperity for you, the Druid, and all your loved ones. And I'm looking forward to the pandemic ending so that we can get together again.
Well, and blessed be to you and Athena and all that you love and hold dear. And I look forward to that day as well, Hercules.
Thank you. And to those listening in, whether it be live or on demand, we extend these blessings onto you as well. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we will close, as we often do, with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you dream till it's real.